Today on the Bird Gang Powerlifting Podcast, we are predicting the rankings of the 2025 Sheffield event together with Pavel and Ula. If you want to follow along, please watch the show notes. The Elite is our English series where we interview world-level coaches and lifters.
Das ist schon geil. Das ist einfach so unglaublich, unglaublich spannend.
Aber es ist schon geil.
Einfach erzählen.
Welcome to the Sheffield preview episode on the Bird Gang Powerlifting Podcast. My name is Falk. I'm here with my two lovely co-hosts, Mr. Kona and Max. And we're sitting here once again, really once again, with Pavel and Ula and talk about the Sheffield standings and our predictions to it. This is our second recording. The German audience already knows about it, but to all the international listeners, we had some minor issues with our recordings the last time, but it all played out in the end because right after we had big changes in the lineup for Sheffield. And I'm really hyped to have Pavel and Ula here on the podcast, two really, really high level experts on powerlifting, and they have the special secret insight to different topics. And we're really happy to have you here, guys. Just for the beginning, for everyone who doesn't know what Sheffield is and what it is about, maybe you guys can jump in and explain what we are going to be seeing there.
Well, I think you can confidently say that Sheffield competition is currently the most elite powerlifting competition happening in the world. I believe it's even more elite than the worlds themselves. And it's a competition where you can qualify as being a world champion, achieving above the 95% of the current total world record. In the Sheffield competition, there are 12 women and 12 men competing, and they are trying to beat the current world record by the highest amount of percent.
And as we know, there is 8 weight classes, both in the men and women division. So for a start, we have 8 competitors. After that, 2 of them is like chosen by the highest rank among the second places who is closest to the world record. And after that, we have 2 wildcards, both for women and both for men. And the wildcards are kind of connected to what region is not really good represented on Sheffield.
Also, whoever is the most promising athlete and progressing as aggressively as you can hit above the world records.
Also, Sheffield is one of the biggest money events, the biggest money event we have. Close to £500,000 in the prize fund. The first place gets £25,000 and then it goes down to the 10th place where there are money prizes. You get also 5,000 per broken record on squat, bench or deadlift and total.
Yeah.
And you can win up to 45,000.
So as Falk already mentioned, we got some big changes after our first attempt. And I think we should mention that at first, Bob Matthews resigned from participating in Sheffield. He was replaced by 8 Omisakin, who won and put a really big total and the world record in 83 kilos in junior at Malta. After that, Tim Monegatti got injured and had to be replaced by 66 lifter, very famous Panache.
Yes, sir.
And in the reserve, we already got Jonathan Garcia, who also is the 66 lifter. So if, like, as we already talked about it, if something will happen to Kjell Bakkelund, like he will pass during the weight cut, maybe Jonathan Garcia will have his chance.
What Pavel meant was pass out, not passed pass. Out.
Yeah. Passed out. But now I didn't tell passed away.
Please, yeah.
We got progress.
That was close.
We got
progress.
And in the women division, we got only one change.
So far.
So far, yeah. Carola Gara was pretty high in my rankings, injured her low back. And she was forced to resign and for her place, we got Bobby Butters from 57. And in reserve, we have Jessica Espinal from 47.
And to add a little bit of spice to that discussion, we have also heard some rumors or even the statements from Jade Jacob about her low back pain. So we might see once again another change.
I hope not, but we'll see.
We are recording right now just 1 week out. It's as close to the competition as it can possibly be to still publish the episode on time. So if we are missing out on any changes that are maybe possibly coming within the next days, we're sorry about that. And we can maybe make a quick assumption on where Jessica could possibly be placed in the ranking. But I think we're going to do that in the end.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, she absolutely belongs into the lineup. She performed insanely good as you can possibly do it. Yeah, but onto that later.
Now we can start with the predictions. And if you want to follow along, we have all our predictions and comparisons in the show notes. So you can have a visual representation and follow Falk's guide.
We will jump in on the women's division, where Pavel and Ulla maybe are a little bit biased on how their selection is going to be because they have an athlete starting there. Yeah, please, you two, just give us a quick overview on your 12th to 7th places to jump in on the women's. How's it going to be?
Considering the changes in women's division regarding Carola's withdrawal due to the back issues, we have a new place 12th competitor. And we think that reserve Bobby Butters will be the last one. Just because we did some research on her performance on last competition and on the training, and it looks like she won't be able to be even close to the 100% of the world total record.
I think she's able to hit some world record in squat in 57 and also world record in the bench press, but she's struggling to hit 200 kilos in deadlift, and this is why she's on the 12th position.
Has been struggling with that deadlift for some time now,
yeah.
So it doesn't look like it's going to change right now. The place number 11 for us is Brittany, not because she's not strong, because she's an amazing lifter and inspiring. However, she's got Sonita in her weight class, and it's just hard to compete with Sonita considering what's going on with her training right now. Brittany is not going to make it, even if she does like the best day of the best performance for her. We have predicted for her something around 720 kilos, but it's just below the 100%. And place number 10 for us might be a little controversial for some fans, because for us this is Lia Beauvoir. She is a great lifter. She is cutting weight to 63s to try to win the Sheffield. However, considering what she's been putting on her Instagram regarding trainings lately, how the bar is moving right now, it just doesn't look like she is in the best shape of her life lately. She's definitely had some back issues, and it looks like she will be doing something over the world record, just not enough over to be higher than the 10th place.
But I would like to stop here for a moment, because when we were obviously watching some other podcasts with predictions, there are some rumors that Lia can even hit the similar squat like in 69, it's 225, and that she can even do 230 or 235 in deadlift. And I'm pretty biased and I don't believe it, but we also didn't have any decent information, and we We strongly believe that before Sheffield 224, she will underperform, that she will hit around 560, 570 would be the top. And she ended on the second place with 585. So there is this tiny possibility that she performed pretty well with other 63 lifters. But
she might be gatekeeping some training information from us.
That's what I mean. But we'll see.
We just considered the injury in the equation, and that's what we think for now. However, we would like to be surprised by her because she's a great lifter. The place number 9 is Amanda Lawrence, and I don't think it's a surprise to anyone, as Amanda has been very consistent with her progress numbers year to year. She's been very consistent with her performance, which would be something around the same things that she does in training, then the same things happen on the platform, or maybe slightly less. So considering that, we think she will go above her own world record. She will hit around 652.5, which would give her a little bit above 100% of the world total record.
Nothing to add.
Okay. 8th place for us, and it's a mystery. We don't know really, and as we recorded the previous podcast, we didn't know as well. We have some more information right now, but it's not very conclusive. 8th place for us is Jade Jacob. She has recently lost her coach, which obviously makes training harder, going to the competition for the first time alone or with other coach than previously might be very taxing for her, might be hard just mentally. However, we also know that Jade Jacob is a great performer under some emotions. She has proven that emotions drive her to the top. She is a very good revenge lifter, as you can call her that. So it might be very, very interesting and inspiring to see her performing now. However, she has been reporting some back issues lately, as I mentioned before. So let's just hope she makes it to the competition and she's able to show up and show whatever she has in the tank. We are predicting for her $525, and it would make 101% of the world record. And the highest place of the lower six, so the 7th place for us, is Carolina. Carolina has been usually very consistent with her lifting during competitions. She had historically only one bad competition, as I can remember, where she didn't lift whatever she's been lifting in training. She looked really strong in her training lately. So we believe she will squat something around 235, as she did in training. She might be able to bench press 130, and we believe she will deadlift at least 255, which would make 620 kilos. So 7 above the world record, and also 101% with some change.
So that was 12th to 7th place for Ulan Pavel. I have to be honest, I get pretty much the same ranking. It's here and there is just some minor changes. But as we said, we really just talking about small percentages here.
I think even from a numbers perspective, from the total, Falk's and Ulas and Pavel's prediction are almost exactly matching.
Yeah, it's insanely close.
And Kona are exactly the same names, just in a slightly different order. So just to recap really quickly, Falk, Ula and Pavel have Bobby Butters and Brittany Schlater, Leah Beauvoir, Amanda Lawrence, Jay Jacobs, and Carolina Giongattia. And Kona has Bobby, Brittany, Carolina, Leah,
Amanda and Jade. So not much difference there. And I think if nobody has something to add, we can jump straight to the sixth to fourth place. And there's much more controversy in the men's division. So we can go up to the top right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in and give the biggest controversy of this episode. And that might be Sunita placing sixth in the competition.
No way.
I mean, it's controversial, and
Una's just looking at him like, "What? Yeah, what are you talking about?
You fucking moron!" I'm also positive about her putting up an amazing performance. I just left her in sixth place because my previous ranking was her being in that position, and yeah, I mean, I can totally see her also putting up a second place performance. Because, yeah, first place taken, but onto that later. But I would love to see some other people, performing a little bit better. I have Megan Scanlon in fifth. And that might be, I might be wrong about that. I may see Sunita beat Megan, maybe with ease. Let's see that. And Megan can also place just sixth. I can agree on that. And I have my fourth place taken by the novice for Sheffield, Miss Alba Boström from Sweden, who is still... No, she isn't anymore. Is she still a junior?
Yes.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Still this year.
She's
okay,
21,
that's crazy.
I think.
Yeah, she won Worlds, Junior Worlds, and got the wild card for Sheffield, absolutely deserved. And she, is a big number prospect for the 63 divisions, and I absolutely see her winning the 63s here. And I would love to see that. But it won't be quite enough for top three. For the podium, I see some other names there, and except for Sunita, we are all pretty close on that one as well, as I see right now.
So I gotta be honest, I disagree a bit with Alba. She's on the podium for me. She's on the second place, even though Evie Corrigan just posted something 15 hours ago from her training with an all-time PR of 175 kg squat, 110 bench, and she deadlifted 200. And
But Kona is a believer. He's loyal.
I am a loyal believer of Alba Boström taking the second place. and Evie being on the third place here with, of course, Agata on place one. But I got Sunita on the fourth place, so just in between Falk's and Ula's and Pava's prediction. And Tiffany Chapon for place five. Her training was, at least on Instagram, going really good. But... I mean, obviously, she has to cut a lot. Falk, what is up?
I want to jump in because the first time we recorded the Sheffield prediction, both of you, as well as Ulan, Pavel, and Kona, said that this one is not happening. I had Tiffany pretty high in my rankings the last time as well, but... I was getting some hate for that. And I would love to have your opinion on Tiff, because she gained some placings in both of your rankings. What happened there?
Just let Kona finish with his last. And then
absolutely.
We can switch to Ulan Pavel.
And I got Max Gendon on place six. So with Tiffany, I'm basically... just judging it on her bench being very strong on her like latest post. And I mean, she was always benching in between 19 to 100, but she benched 100 plus for so many times here. I don't know about her body weight for sure, since she's obviously in the lightest class and also has to cut. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see if she can bench 100 plus there. But if she does, it could turn out pretty good for her. Was that convincing, Falk? Is this convincing for you?
It's absolutely convincing. I mean, I'm absolutely pro Tiff in the top five, and just still want to hear what Pavel and Ula have to say, because they were big opponents of my ranking of Tiffany. So, what happened?
We also did some research. actually, Tiff hit couple of days ago, I believe, not even weeks, 165, that was pretty easy in squat, 105 in bench press, and 170, which is really, really, really easy for her. And it gave her 445. But due to the weight cut, I believe she is able to hit 440 or 442 and a half. But due to the fact that it's obviously the world record total in 47 is 433 and a half. So the percentages for Tiff are pretty in a favor for Tiffany than from other lifters. So 1 kilo in Tiff situation is like, let's calculate pretty
quickly.
Okay, let's not calculate. But it's higher than for Sonita, for example, obviously. So minor changes in Tiffany world total total can give her a lot of...
A big spike up.
Yeah.
And good. She's been very consistent in her lifting lately, as you all saw her last post on the Instagram. I don't think I ever saw Tiff lifting as good so close to the competition as right now. So that gives us an impression that she's going to have a really good performance during Sheffield. I think 105 on the bench is very, very... it's like, it's going to happen. She struggles with adding weights to her deadlifts. So I believe 172 and a half will happen, and I don't think nothing more. However, her squats looked very strong, and I think 167 is possible to hit during Sheffield, and that would give her, in our predictions, the fifth place.
Yeah, and the new thing for Tiff is that her training, her strong, her heavy lifts doesn't look like she is busting her ass off. It's not like RP10. It looks more smooth, and I think it's in a favor because she will be not beaten up due to the prep. So I think this is the good thing. We'll see. But yeah, Tiff ends up from, I believe, 10th place to the 5th.
To the top five.
To the top five in our predictions. So big jump for Tiff, yeah.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
What changed? I mean, maybe 5 kilos in her total gave her that. So
yeah.
Yeah, just to show you guys how close it is, really.
Yeah. And on the sixth place, we got Megan Stanley. And the fourth place, we got Alba Bostrom. And it's funny thing, because I'm biased in the way of Alba due to two things. Joey Flex, who is his coach.
Her.
And due to the fact that she is younger than Megan Scanlon. But if you are watching both of those lifters from 63, Megan prep is awesome. It looks pretty good.
It looks like she found a new way to get her progress going really fast, and it's really promising. So I'm not that sure that she's going to be lower than Alba. However, yeah, Alba is a fresh lifter in the division. She is younger. She is progressing also very aggressively. So
yes,
it's going to be just very, very exciting to see how it ends. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be head to head.
Yeah, it's like a situation in 83 men's division. It's for me, it's just kind of flip a coin. Who will be like get the better
attempt selection or execution of the lifts?
Just a quick insight to Meg Scanlon's coach Kelly Mann. She's now right now attending the TSG lecture, so maybe there's some new wind going on and some new ideas she's getting from there, but we will not know for sure.
My question to Pavel, because you said you are biased with Alba on two things, one being she's younger and the other thing is being coached by Joey, is that, I mean, you can be biased in two directions. Is that a positive thing to be coached by Joey for her, or is it like...
Definitely, yes. Okay. Definitely. I think that Joey, in terms of optimization of training load on the recovery, the optimization of load management, is one of the best coaches in the world. How many lifters on Sheffield is from his wings? Let's say.
Oh boy,
it's 4, 5, 6. It's like
who wants to count that through
one quarter. so that's I think that's says for itself that he is really good. He's a really good coach. Okay,
I think you can go on and finish the whole 1 to 6 places, and then Falk will chime in.
Okay, let's do it. So on the number 3 we have Evie Corrigan, and we believe that Evie will hit 500 kilos. And due to the fact that, as you mentioned, she posted some last, I think it was last heavy session, when she hit 175, 110, and 200. And we can all agree that the squat was RP10 and the bench was pretty RP10. But deadlift was pretty easy. So I think she can get, like, let's say 177 or 180. I think that 110 will be at the top. But she also got, I believe, in her deadlift history, 210. So I think that 500 that she dreamed of, or even something slightly above, is pretty possible.
One thing you have to say about Evie Corrigan, what she has taught us as we were watching her winning the first Sheffield and lifting internationally, if she says she's gonna hit 500, she's gonna hit 500. So I believe her. You gotta believe her. So if she does, that will give her the third place.
Yeah, and I previously told that if she hit 500, he will change the weight class. It's not true. it's not true. We'll see, cause but it's not like confirmed information that related to the Sheffield. Because as also we heard, she is not so she's struggling well less to maintain the body weight to be in 52. It's easier on each time, it's kind of easier for her to do it, as we heard. Yeah, on the second place, it's, I think...
Fuck, now you get educated.
Yeah, educate me.
Listen.
On the second place, and I think it's kind of controversial, but we just... No, it's not controversial?
It's not.
Okay. You have to believe your wife if she says something, so okay. But we strongly believe that the second place is for Sonita Muluch. And Sonita, we all are pretty sure that Sonita gave us one of the best squat shows in the world. She will do something like 325 or 330 even. We know that she struggles with some arm pain, with some shoulder pain. So we believe that she will, if she adds, it will be some minor kilos. So
157,
maybe 160. But Sonita started being one of the best female deadlifters.
Have you seen her last deadlift?
Yeah.
Yes,
unfortunately, yes.
She did 260 for free and probably 280 and a half for the single, for fatigue single, but she didn't post it. So we didn't, so actually we don't know if it was in the IPF technical standards, but we presume that she will hit world squat record, world deadlift record, and obviously world total record. And if she will hit something above 770, she is really major. She is major
threat to Agata.
Threat to Agata, which is freaking. I really
insane.
Know what? Yeah,
surprising.
Surprising. Yeah, due to the fact that she is 84 plus lifter, she was the best lifter in words due to the IPF GL points. And let's face it, IPF GL points do not favor heavier lifters and super heavyweight. That was the comparison that Ray Williams in the Wilkes would be third on the third place and at the IPF GL on the 10th place. So, yeah.
Oh.
So, we are going into Sheffield 2025 slightly less confident than a week ago.
yeah, totally.
However, we still think we can win.
Yeah, we all got Agata on one. And now I'm interested if this is changing your attempt selection a little bit. What are we about to see from Agata on Sheffield?
Actually,
gatekeep it. Don't
no,
say anything.
We don't.
Just
we don't do
the
that.
World.
I think that we will be still, as we said, as Agata said also, we will start with 197 and a half with the squat. We will start with 155 in the bench, and we will start with 249 in the deadlift. But we thought about it that we will be cocky in some way to the fact that, okay, let's try in the third deadlift to break the Amanda's world record in 84. So let's hit the 269. But we will be just make sure, we have to make sure that Sonita will not, we will not took Agata's win one.
Secure the first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's kind of insane, but it's pretty possible that Sonita will perform very, very well. For to our favor, Sonita is not training. Sonita is not doing her deadlift after her squats. So there might be some interference between the heavy squat and heavy deadlift. So she might not be, there might be some issue to put the heavy deadlift during the competition, but
it's reckless to assume that.
Yeah,
because what she's ever shown us is just a great performance in all three lifts. I am 100% sure she's going to pull for the gold for the first place in her last attempt,
I strongly agree.
So there are going to be some emotions.
Yeah, that's what we want.
That's what Sheffield is about.
Yeah, that's true.
So to summarize, Ula and Pavel's prediction are pretty much exactly the same as Kona's predictions for the 1-6 place. Just the second and fourth place a switch, with Ula and Pavel having Sonita on second and Kona having Alba on second. Falk has some minor changes there. So, Falk, you can take us to the 6th to 1st place on the women's division.
Yeah, Sonita on 6, which might change completely. I'm super hyped up to see her perform. I just think that the last attempt on her deadlift might be neck breaking a little bit. I think she might not get that, but just me assuming. Yeah, let's see how that plays out. Megan Scannon on 5, Alba on 4. I have Tiffany Chapon in 3rd place. Just agreeing with everything Ulan Pavel said about her. She is looking like she is gaining momentum coming into the competition, and that's looking great for her. And yeah, might get her a pretty good placing in the rankings. I have Evie in 2nd place, maybe because I'm a big fan of her. I'm really impressed by her performance every time she steps on the platform. She's a great lifter and also still a great prospect. She's, yeah, still making progress in her weight class, and that's pure insanity to me. She's also pretty engaging with the sport and also doing works beside her lifting, which does bring the sport more forward. And that's why, in my perspective, she absolutely deserves to get 2nd place. And yeah, nothing to say about that. Agata will win. She will be the first athlete to win Sheffield back-to-back. And I don't see it happening that Sunita is going to beat her.
This will be it for the women's division. Not so much controversy here between our predictions. Yeah, I think we finished this pretty neatly.
But we need to add one last point, and that's going to be what will happen when Jad Jakob will withdraw from the competition. We already know that Jessica Espinal is now in reserve and prepping and looking good. So what will happen when Jessica Espinal, just give a quick placing here. So to all of you guys, what will happen when Jessica Espinal attends Sheffield by Jad Jakob drawing out?
The real question is, will she be better than Tiff or not?
Yeah. I believe that Espinal did the thing with the elbow depth. It's no longer an issue for her, due to the fact that that was the main reason why she lost during the Worlds, because she ended only with one bench press, one white lighted, let's say it. And if she will hit 9 for 9, I believe that she would be on place 5, maybe 4.
So for us, in place of Tiffany.
Yeah. I think that below Alba, but Something near.
I think she's going to be in front of Tiffany just because she's the better deadlifter, but pretty much benches the same, I'd say. Of course, Tiffany squats more than her, but I still think that the bigger deadlift is what it's about in the end. So she could definitely just pull for the weight class win to be in front of Tiff.
I agree on Jessica beating Tiff. I have her in 3rd place and all the others moving down one position. Nothing else to say about that. I think Jessica is standing right now the better lifter in the 47s. And I think that if she has to compete and if she gets a good competition in, which it looks like. I mean, her training is looking pretty neat and forward, so I would absolutely give the 3rd place to her if she attends, but that's going to be stuff of the future. Okay, people, we are going to the men's division, and I'm just going to give you a quick insight on my placings from 12 to 7. I'm going to start with my 12th place, who is Oscar Carpio, the 59 kilogram athlete from the United States. I have Waska with a world record total of 100.15%. So you can already see how high the level is going to be for the people competing there. So he's breaking a record in my prediction and still only gets 12th place. Afterwards, in 11, I have Jesus Olivares, a 120 plus kg athlete. In 10th place, I have Gustav Hedlund. Let's see where this is going to play out. In 9th place, I have Emil Krastev from Bulgaria. In 8th place, I have the 83 kilogram athlete Juwens Kengamu. And in 7th place, I have Russell Orhi. So, to all the people who have been there in our first recording, so all five of us here, you might have noticed that I made some changes. I didn't just put in the new name. I thought about what we said in our last recording and yeah, mixed it up a little bit. And I am really hyped to hear your opinion on that, because I think there is some controversy when I look in Kona's direction.
Yeah, I gotta be real honest with you. That is completely wrong, what you just said. And I will explain why. I mean, I got
give me the explanation.
Waskar and Jesus in the last two places as well. At least Jesus for me is gonna be in the last place, and Waskar is gonna be on place 11. But I think that Panna will be on the 10th place, just because, I mean, you can pretty much hate me for that, but I think it's going to be like this. I mean, I don't know what he squatted in training, but it's definitely going to open with, I'd say, 20 kgs lighter and then make a pretty big jump, grind that for an absolutely death grinder. It's going to go up 2.5 kilos on the third attempt. It's going to fail it. He's definitely going to get a bench grinder going, and I think he's going to get like 285 to 290 on the deadlift and is gonna miss his third one. So that's why he's only in 10th place for me. It's a prediction. Go hate me for that, please. And I got Juris Kengamu in 9th place and Ashton in 8th place. And on the 7th place, that's...
That's crazy. Okay, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's Russell Orhi for me as well. So same as Falk, just because I think there's going to be way stronger people in front of him. Not because he's not strong or not going to perform well, but I just think that other people will perform even better than him.
So interesting how precisely you are predicting Panna's competition results. And I think you will be either totally wrong or exactly on the dot right what he's doing. But just to mention for every listener who's not familiar with Sheffield, we have some pretty strong lifters here at the lowest places. But for Sheffield, it doesn't matter how good you are in relation to the other people, or how much dots you are scoring or how much total you get. It's everything related to the world record. So you don't have to just perform really, really good. You have to raise the bar to the current world record. It's not compared between each lifter individually. It's just about how much you top out your record, and then this is compared. Just to clarify, why some great lifters end up in these low placings.
Yeah, and that pretty much means, in terms of Jesus, for example, that they are just competing against themselves. Jesus won Sheffield in 2023, so the first Sheffield happening was a win for Jesus Olivares, and he put up a pretty big world record on there. In terms of Panna, I can absolutely agree with Kona. I can see that happening. Everything he said is possible, but the numbers I've put to him was, they were pretty in favor on him, that's right, but it still played out as a pretty good percentage of the world record, which is 103.5%, and that terms and that places him, because the field is so close, the world record percentages are so narrow to one another. By getting one good lift in addition to what Kona says, he can just jump up the rankings for five places pretty easily. I would love to see that happen, but let's see how it plays out.
I mean, I also have to mention that I'm not hating on Pana, of course. It's just like the result of what I was looking at on, for example, open powerlifting. And there were so many competitions where that was pretty much the exact outcome. Even though I really have to say I would wish for him to be way higher on the final scoreboard, just because I think he really deserves it in terms of just his work ethic and everything. That's quite motivating, at least for me. But I tried to be as objective as possible here.
Yeah, fair.
I think that's what the prediction is about, because when we're talking about who I'd like to see winning Sheffield, that's something else then.
Yeah.
Pavel and Ula, what do you say about the rankings so far?
I think we can all agree that Jesus Olivares will not exceed 100% due to the lack of his most important lift. His squat is not on point during that time. And if he cannot squat something above like 450, he simply cannot put some total even close to 1,150. The same thing is with Panache. It's hard to believe that Panache will exceed 725. I think he will not be able to add about 15 kilos to his total to make sure that he is above the world record.
Actually, there might be a possibility to do it. We have discussed it some time ago with our good friend and also an international coach. If Panache would try to switch his strategy and just go for the opener with the number planned for the second attempt, he might be able to grind some more and add to his total. However,
Kona's already crying.
Please don't.
Please don't.
That might be interesting to watch. It would be a very good show.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So our 12th place is Jesus Olivares, and the 11th place is Panache. On the second place, we have Waskar.
On the 10th.
And during the previous podcast, the previous attempt to record the podcast, you gave me some impulse to do some searching, to do some research about Waskar. And I strongly believe that actually, because I told that it is unable to him to make something above the world record that lasts in the 59s for like, I believe like 7 years now. But he is pretty close due to the fact that he end up with 230 squat, 157 on the bench, and 275 and a half in the deadlift. Yeah, and I think it's kind of possible to him to make the world record. That would be pretty, pretty impressive. And I just
look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We had his coach on our podcast, Steve DeNovi.
We will have his coach on the podcast next week for the listeners out there.
Probably we'll see when we release the episode. But he also talked about Waskar. And I mean, he's realistic. He knows that he won't get the highest rate, the highest placing. But I'm not sure if I remember his phrasing correctly, Kona. I don't know if you can chime in. Did he said he will not break the world record? Or do I misremember this?
You can listen to this in the upcoming episode. Since I also forgot what exactly he said.
I think he said that they won't be breaking the world record, but I'm not sure. So we will have to re-listen to it.
Just to jump in, I've watched his Instagram stuff. I mean, that's not proficient about his real capabilities on lifting, but I think to be realistic, the currently standing world record is extremely high and not broken for, as you said, 7 years. It's just insanely good. But I would love to see Waskar put on another world record. And I've typed in my numbers and it played out that it is possible for him to break the world record. I would love to see that happen. But yeah, we will see it in 1 week time for us and for you in 5 days.
Yeah, on the 9th place, we got Russell Orhi. And I think he will be on the lowest rank of the great battle of 83 during the Sheffield, due to the fact that he need to do some cutting weight, because he is like around 87, 18, 88 for his natural weight. And I think that he was able to, during the training, he was able to put, I believe, 207 or 210 on his bench. But during the Worlds in Lithuania, he ended with 197. So I gave him, we gave him
2.5 more.
Yeah, 195. And I believe this is the this will be the last attempt for him. It would be pretty hard. And it gave him 870 in the total. And it's pretty close. Like, in our predictions, the from 9th place to actually 6th place, it's like the difference is like 2.5 to 5 kilos. It's pretty close.
Crazy, yeah.
So he can also, he can be higher. I don't think he will be lower, but I think he might be higher. But I strongly believe that despite of other weight categories, in 83, Aid and Jurians will be much stronger than him. Maybe not much stronger, but stronger. And on our 8th place, we got Gustav Hedlund.
Controversial.
And Gustav Hedlund looks... His training now looks awesome. And Kona also sent me some Insta stories. it looks pretty awesome. And I think he will do 330 in squat, 220 in the bench, and 365 in the deadlift.
Because the deadlifts are looking really strong.
Yeah.
However, it's 915 total. It's 1.5% over the current world record. And we have some higher predictions for the other guys.
Yeah, and of course, there is the obvious comparison to Emil Krastev. I think Emil will do something really big on bench press, and it will give him the win over the Gustav. But we'll see. His whole prep is pretty awesome. I love to watch it. He looks really strong. But we did yesterday during the night, we
deep research.
Yeah, we did some research, and Gustav is not really good
grinder. On deadlifts, no.
So we'll see.
It just goes up or it doesn't. There is no grind there. However, what is we believe so.
I would say we leave the Gustav Hedlund controversy for the top three placings of Kona.
Yeah.
It will go up though.
yeah, for sure. I mean, just to hop in for one additional note, Emil Krastev just recently, I think yesterday or the day before, posted a week total of his final peak week with a 914.5 total, which looked powerful. Let's be honest about that. But his squat wasn't right under the dot. That's what I thought.
Yeah, totally. It wasn't deep enough.
I did just my judge's license yesterday. So yeah.
not to brag about it,
but to my understanding, that squat wasn't deep. Yeah, it looked powerful. Maybe he can put on some performance for the competition. Would love to see that, but I have him above Hedlund in the world record, and just hope for him to hold on to his last deadlift and make the world record to an extent.
And exactly, I believe, for number 706, we got Jurijs Kendamu or Aid Omisakin. But I hit Aid Omisakin that he will be on the 6th place due to the fact that Aid is better deadlifter than Jurijs.
We don't know that.
We know that.
We don't know what Jurijs has in the tank.
Okay, I assume
here. We don't know that.
I assume that he will, because both of them, I believe, will hit something like 875. But due to the fact that Omisakin already have something like 370, and he did the 332 for 5, I believe, which is pretty incredible. I think he's in the favor. But for me, both of these guys is like flipping a coin. It's kind of who will have the luck to win above the another.
Or the highest skill.
Yeah, totally. Or the better attempt selection. Pretty close.
So for me, it seems that your prediction got a little bit more optimistic and Falk's prediction is a little bit more conservative. And now you guys are meeting in the middle.
I was, not to say shocked, but surprised by giving Durin's an 875 total. That's good. I've gave him 860 and have Russell perform like 2.5 kilos better than him. So that can absolutely switch up. I'm also totally fine with that. I would love to see Durin's place higher than Russell. I just think that Russ has something to prove after Worlds and maybe had the opportunity in the last 6 months to get his mind where it needs to be and maybe perform better on the day. But I can absolutely see that Durin's, I mean, he's got something to lose. He's the world champ. He's the man in the 83s at the moment, and there's an upcoming guy who needs to be beat. But let's see where we get into the top three. Yeah, let's give it to Kona to give us the placings 6, 5, and 4. What do you see happen there?
So on place 6, I got 8 Omisakin as well. He's definitely a strong puller. I mean, he pulled, 312 or 7 or something like this.
Yeah.
That's actually insane. But I still think that there's stronger people ahead of him. For example, Kazemsan. Well, we're gonna get there later on. But he's on my 5th place. And on place 4, it's Emil for me. Falk got it on place 9.
Just got it wrong there. What's happened there?
That's actually insane. But I think he's an insane bencher. And his deadlifts are looking very strong as well. I just hope he's going to hold on to them. Because, I mean, obviously we know Falk is a hook hater. But I just hope he's going to hold on to the last deadlift or his deadlifts in general. But I have to agree with Falk. His squads, they don't look, I wouldn't say too high, but definitely not deep enough for the IPF standard. I don't know if it's the angle or whatever. We cannot judge an Instagram video. We can only judge what the judges will do. But I still think he has to dig deep down to get into the higher ranks.
Totally agree.
So 6-5-4 is 8 Omisakin, Kazem Sand, and Emil for me. What about you, Ula and Pavel?
Okay, I already mentioned that it's like 6th place, like exact four, so let's say it's 8 Omisakin. The 5th place is Emil Krastev. And I'm pretty optimistic for his performance. But he already, during the Worlds, like in 2022, he get red-lighted squats for depth. So it's not a new thing. It's not like he's shallow squatter in training and during the competition, everything is okay. So it can be something against him. I think it's kind of race between Kaiko and Emil, between the Jonathan and Emil in bench press. So I strongly believe that we might see the world record on Emil account in the bench press. It's something about Because it's 245 and a half, I believe now. And I think he would do maybe 246 or even more. And as I talked with Kedrick, we both agreed that Emil might get 360 in that lift. And it's like something around 920 with the squat 350, which is lower than his
strength abilities.
Yes, yes, let's say it.
However, we all know that you can't just do not deep enough squats in training, just hope that it will happen in the comp day. That untrained range of motion doesn't just show up.
Yeah,
very good.
So
point.
It's very heartbreaking because
that is a very decent point. Yeah,
thank you. It is very heartbreaking for us because, as you know, we were strongly betting for Emil to be second the last time.
Yeah.
But the reality of his training this close to the competition just showed it won't happen.
And the reality of other lifters' training.
Yes.
Pavel, you mentioned Kedrick. Just for the listeners, can you give some insights where you get your secret information and explain
sure thing.
Can't just bust Kedrick here.
Yeah, sure thing. Kedrick is the CEO of Reformers Training, and he's the nutrition coach of
pretty much everyone.
Pretty much most of the strongest lifter, and also he's the coach of Emil Krastev, obviously, and from the famous names,
Heather Connor.
Yeah, Heather Connor. Okay. Our fourth place, and I think it is the change from our previous podcast. It's Ashton Ruska. I believe that Ashton will be on the podium, but I still believe that his total will be pretty decent. I even believe that he will be the world record in 105 will be pretty close to record of Dennis Cornelius in 120. After the Ruskes competition at Sheffield, but his bench is like, we don't know actually what he did during the bench. He even didn't put his on his social media.
Very secret bench session.
Yeah, very secret bench session. And I gave him 380 in squat. I gave him 380 in deadlift, and I gave him optimistically because he is after the pretty bad injury of the, yeah, he tore his pec a little bit. So I gave him 210, and I believe he will be able, if everything went really good with his chest, to do 970, which gave him 103% and the place 4.
I think Ashton is the first one where there are some discrepancies in the rating. I mean, you gave him really high hopes for his squat and deadlift with both 380, possibly. Kona ranked him a lot higher on the 8th place. Kona, do you think that's realistic? 3.8 on squat and deadlift and 210 on bench?
I mean, it could be realistic. But as Pavel already said, because of possible injuries. And I mean, he didn't post too much of his like recent training going into Sheffield. So I don't know. I just think that others will place higher just in terms of me looking at their training and just like basically judging on this fact. That's pretty much why he's on the 8th place for me and on 4th place for Ulan Pavel.
yeah.
So just because of relations to the other lifters.
Yeah, exactly.
As we said, the field is extremely close. It's extremely narrow. 2.5 kilos in the total prediction can just make a few placings. Let's face that. I put Ashton right in between the other two parties. I have in sixth place. And the weights are pretty close to what Pavel and Ula said. I have him squat 370, that's 10 kilo less. I have him pull 375, that's 5 kilo less than you predicted. And I have him bench 215, which is 5 more than you predicted. I also don't know about his bench and his pec injury, how that played out. But yeah, let's see what he can do on the platform. I haven't seen him compete too much in IPF, and I think it's realistic for him to do 960, which will extend the current world record by 19.5 kilograms, and 102.07%, and we'll place him in six. I have Pana in fifth place because my predictions were pretty much in favor for him. And my fourth place, which might be a bit surprising, is Austin Perkins, who I initially had in first place. And then afterwards, I calculated my predictions on their attempts and then played out completely differently. Max, maybe you want to jump in and give us the commonalities.
So, yeah, I think we also discussed Emil Krastev enough and Pana. What I think interesting is that you think Austin will just deadlift 335.
Mm.
I think he has more potential, but...
Might have, yeah.
We don't have so much experience with his platform performance. So maybe he will continuously make very good lifts that he could do in training. Yeah, that will be interesting. Pavel, what do you think? And Ula, what do you think about his deadlift? Where do you see him?
We gave him even smaller deadlift. We gave him 335 at top, at the best. Actually, it's pretty hard to talk about Perkins because he didn't have any performance. He didn't have any start, any competition when he has to struggle. It was like it was fun to him. The last start in USA powerlifting, also, it was pretty light. The competition in powerlifting America, nothing. So he's like, he's just playing with, let's say it, with Taylor Atwood to take from him the biggest total that was done in 74 in tested division.
So up to now, he was only competing with one person. Now he has 11 more competitors.
Yeah.
And we just don't know what he's capable of when you add some pressure to that.
Yeah. Is he like, is he good grinder? Is what happens when he is put to the wall that he need to push something more?
In addition, I think he did himself some disservice by not holding it back during Worlds, because he lifted that world record and it made it harder for him to win Sheffield now.
Yeah.
So it was just strategically not that smooth.
Very true, yeah.
True that.
But who knows that Kjell will do the thing with changing the weight category.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew?
The thing that makes understanding the performance of Austin Perkins so hard, or judging it, is basically his Instagram is... he's not posting too many heavy lifts.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Like, there's pretty much no heavy singles or anything going on right now, except of like... touch and go bench, for example. And it's hard to judge his performance by, like, for example, his Instagram reel, is this the fastest 600-pound deadlift ever? Like, you cannot judge how fast 320, 340, whatever moves just because of this.
Yeah, totally.
Agree. I mean, there are maybe some minor issues with Austin's lifting. As you already mentioned, that his bench he posts is mostly touch and go. So we don't know what he can do with commandos, with signals, where this is going to get him.
And I was not hating on him. Like, he was literally posting like touch and go bench as, I don't know, maybe his main movement to get some load done. I don't know, but I didn't judge his pause.
Yeah, though. Absolutely. I agree on that. I mean, he had like a PR a few months back with 210 on bench, and yeah, it was just bouncing down and coming up and grinding. That was heavy, And I don't know whether he's in the realm of putting on 200 plus bench with a good pause, with a judge given pause. And yeah, let's see where this is going to get him. I think his squats at some point when they were heavy, and I mean, he still did reps with it, but it could arguably be too high for a deep competition squat, maybe at some point. And yeah, let's see where this is going to play out for him. He can easily get into the top three. He can easily get also second place. I don't see him beat Kjell, and this is where I gonna just reveal our common first place. So every one of us got Kjell Bakkelund in first place, and yeah, I don't think he's as long as he is going to perform and make weight and stay able to move, maybe I think he's going to win Sheffield, and the field to fourth place is pretty close. Maybe Kasim and Ade put on a better performance in relation to their world record to beat Austin.
Just one quick insight on Austin's bench. He does on these touch and go bench on purpose. They have some normal competition days. They have some paused sessions and these touch and go session. And this seems to be a planned strategy from Joe Stenick to use this as an overload. And then they think that the pause will be there on competition with the additional sessions. And so far, it worked out pretty good. So they are pushing these really high numbers and are expecting to improve the pause with these designated sessions and the order of the session. And so far, every time when I look at the last touch-and-go training lifts, they looked heavy and totally not paused. But they managed it on the next competition to do the same lifts with a pause. So I'm really excited if it plays out the same there. Ula and Pavel, you just started with the third place. I think you can continue to your first place prediction on there.
Sure, Finn. Just to worth to mention that the coach of Perkins is Joe Stanek, and he's one of the smartest guy from our powerlifting community. So yeah, I think you can totally be right. Before we start, Falk, what yes. total you give to Panash?
To Panash, numbers. I gave him 735.
Wow.
Yeah. He has in my.
I was also all shocked about his numbers.
Yeah, 265 squat. 185 okay. bench and 285 deadlift. So the deadlift's not too far away from Kona's possible prediction. I think, 265 in squat is realistic. And to my understanding, I'm not quite sure. I have seen him bench 180 plus in competition already. Is that right? Yeah. So this seems to be quite realistic. My initial thought was when Pana stepped in that he's going to place much lower, but typing in the numbers, as I said, they are in favor for him. I can see him put on a 735, which is insane. Let's see.
Good numbers.
Just putting on the controversies here.
Nice.
I mean, we all hope that he will be able to one time get his performance on the platform. We want to see them grind out every third lift.
And it's going to be now. He's going to perform this year.
Yeah. He's trying for so long. It would be so cool.
Yeah. It will be historical moment for Panash. Yeah,
for sure.
On our third place, we got Austin Perkins.
I think we already discussed him enough.
Okay. Just one.
He's got enough attention, yeah.
Okay. We gave him 865, and I think this is the really optimistic result for Austin. Well, but we'll see. In our second place, and this is also big change due to the previous our meeting, it's Kasim Sand. And due to the fact that what I can see from reactive training system perspective, it's like all hands on board. Everyone is helping to make sure that that Kasem Sand will have the best performance in history of his performance in history of powerlifting on reactive training system lifters. And I think that that Mike himself and the other great coaches from reactive training system will make him do something really, really big. And already we have seen on his Instagram 275 in squat. We have seen 157 in the bench press, I believe.
Yes, I believe so.
And we've seen the 345 reps in deadlift. And I presume that he will be able to hit 320 in deadlift. And that numbers gave us 70-55. We don't know about the first place. We are pretty sure that Kiel is our favorite.
Yeah, you can say favorite.
Our favorite. But what I can tell you is, got some rumors that Kiel is now doing like 15,000 steps per day, and he eats 1,300 calories per day.
Oh my!
Yeah, totally. Shit. So. It's really low.
I ate that for breakfast, not gonna lie.
So yeah, I cannot assure you that this is the truth, because I didn't talk about it with Kedrick, who is also his nutritionist. But there are some rumors that he is pretty starving and do really... It's of course, it's low intensity cardio. But
we are still one week out. A lot.
And I really... Like most of the people's give to Bakerlund total around 800. I think that 70-65 will be the top of his possibilities in that weight. We'll see. Also, I don't know if you see those SBD videos about preparing to Sheffield. I think he will do everything to perform at the best, because I'm not 100% sure, but I strongly believe this is his last performance, his last attempt to do something on the platform due to his hips. So maybe he will do like all or nothing. And after the Sheffield, if he won Sheffield, he got World Games. 4 or 5 times he was world champion, and after that he got Sheffield, and I think he is fulfilled with his...
There's not much more to get.
Yeah, totally. So we'll see. But the first and the second place, I strongly believe that it will be pretty, pretty close.
If you put them together next to each other, and you have Kasem Sand doing extremely great in training right now and comfortable, and you have Kiel, who is dying to make weight... It just makes it like impossible to predict which one of them will be the first, and it might be one or the other. Honestly,
yeah. And I think that against Kiel is his deadlift technique. Because let's be honest, some of his deadlifts are lacking in lockout. His hips are not fully extended, and I don't know if judges will during the Sheffield. The Sheffield is not like normal competitions. It's show. So judges might be a little bit, how to say it,
liberal.
Liberal.
I don't think so.
The
referees were very strict last year.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. There were some controversies.
I mean, not only judges, also the jury was. Maybe
and the jury, yeah.
At some point, not in favor for the lifter, and like people who suffered from that were Gavin Aiden, for example, and Jesus totally. Olivares.
You have the whole world's eyes on this competition, so they are not able to afford any referee mistakes. I don't think it's gonna be liberal.
But that will make it so interesting. The severity of Kiel's cut. Could result in anything, missing an opener or really degressing on some lift, or maybe he won't be able to endure the whole competition and will get weaker and weaker over the competition. So I don't wish it for him that he will not perform at its best, but it could be possible. And then it will be even more open.
Yeah, and just to add, we had some stories about even Gavin that he was in sauna for like 2 hours before the Sheffield, and he had to lose like 5 or 6 kilos during the week, I believe, before the Sheffield 224. But I think Kjell is doing the hardest weight cut in history of powerlifting on elite level in IPF, because we have 2 hours before
weigh-ins and competition.
So it might be, I don't know, some.
It's extreme and it's going to make history.
Yeah.
Let's hope a good history.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we're all rooting for Kjell to win Sheffield, but there is a possibility, just to put it there, that he... And then, as you said, the field is completely open. I agree on your second place prediction. I have Kasim Sand also putting on an extremely astonishing performance, and I would love to see him perform that well. I'm a bigger fan of him and loved to watch him lift at Worlds, and I think he deserves a second place. Third place, also do differ in all of our predictions, and that's the point where Kona is... can do an argument for Gustav right there. The clock starts now.
Gustav's gonna make it just because it's Gustav Hedlund. And time.
Okay. Thanks.
I just feel that, I mean, he's not gonna win it again like he did last year, but I still think he is gonna be on the podium on place 3. Just because I feel like his training right now is very, very strong. And when I compare the bar speeds to like his Sheffield performance last year, it looks, I'd say, promising. And just to add some kind of controversy and some kind of spice into our prediction, so we don't all just have the same placings for everyone. I put in place 3 for him. So excited to see how it turns out, especially since Falk got him on place 10 and he's place 3 for me. So it's going to be interesting to see who's right and who's wrong here.
What numbers are you wishing for him, Kona?
I say about 330 to 335 squad. He's gonna bench between, I'd say, 212 and 217.
Agree.
And I can imagine him pulling up to 370. That's the cap I'd give him.
Don't agree.
Okay, that's not so much different from you guys, but... And then you are ranking the other guys lower.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. I'm having Gustav with 332.5 squat, 212.5 bench, and 360 deadlift, which will put him at a 905 total to extend the world record by 10 kilograms, and the biggest controversy so far, I think.
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning, I think, that last year Gustav didn't need much more than, I believe, 1% of the world record above the 100% to win, because that's what happens at Sheffield. We have some strong competitors coming in and missing lifts sometimes because of the pressure. So we'll just see what the competition brings this year.
Yeah. And why he won Sheffield 224? Good selling protection, strength on point, and technical efficiency. So this is his strongest point, and I think that his coach Alexander Eriksson also will make that happen, that he will do really, really good total with really nice attempt selection and really, let's say, nice lifting, like beautiful lifts, nice to watch. But I think that
it's not a beauty contest.
But yeah, I believe that they will be stronger than Gustav.
So to recap, the top three ratings, Falk is putting Aid Omosakin on place three, Kasim Sand on place two, and Kjellum place one. Ula and Pavel are putting Austin Perkins on place three, second place for Kasim Sand, Sunomong on Kjell on first, and Kona, pretty similar, Gustav Hedlund on three, Austin Perkins on second, and Kjell on first. These are our rating for the top three men. So thanks everybody so much for taking the time making the predictions. Maybe we could finish the episode by giving some honorable mention who's maybe missing from the list. Maybe Ula and Pavel can start. What lifters are missing, or which one would you like to see on the platform next year?
In women division, definitely already mentioned Jessica Espinal. I strongly believe she deserves it. That's all from the women division.
For women,
all the best women are already there. From the men division, from my standpoint, it's pretty shame that Bob Matthews did not get in the line with SBD and are not competing. What?
Nothing.
And also from my standpoint, I would love to see Ronald Hunter. I believe he will do something spectacular in 120. But as we know, he's till the next month, he's banned for violation of Article 14. He will be able to be in Sheffield 227, I believe, because he will not be able to be at the Worlds in this year. So the next Sheffield are not on the table for him. Someone else? Yeah, from my standpoint, it is pretty unfair for Anatoly Novopismenny that he is not competition, because he is the world record holder in 105, and he wasn't even considered as a guy who get wild card, which is pretty odd to me. And of course, Borenstein, but Borenstein did not make any international competition, so he is not playing with the rules. And for next Sheffield also, Jonathan Kaiku, one of the lifters that most admire. I totally really like his lifting. I like him as a person, so I would also love to see his great comeback to Worlds and to Sheffield 26. What about you guys? What about you?
Conor Falk, is anybody missing from your list, from your wish list?
I was just about to say Joe Bornstein. But
yeah, me too.
Pavel obviously mentioned him.
I mean, sooner or later, Elliot, forgot his last name, from the Sykes, yeah, from the 74 sub juniors.
Yeah. Fuck
me. Insane.
he will be at some point attending Sheffield as well. Heavy hearted to be agreeing on Rondell Hunt being there in 2 years. And Bob absolutely had to be there. And Anatoly also agree on that. I think they missed out on him big time, and that's really sad. Would love to see him at Sheffield again.
I think we might see Kyoto Ushiyama again.
Yeah. There is a possibility. We'll see how we'll end for him. And
he has the current record.
Yeah, and how it during the next Sheffield, the record will be somewhere near,
yeah, it
somewhere
will be higher,
about
yeah.
750 for sure. So 750s for sure. So Kyoto might get the hard time during the next Sheffield. But yeah, it's worth to mention. Really strong lifter.
So that was it for this episode. Thank you so much, Ula and Pavel, giving your predictions here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and all your insights. It was really interesting to hear everything and how the predictions change now.
with the new lifters coming in. Thanks to all the listeners listening to this episode. If you might disagree on one of the placing, please write us a message and please argue why you think we misplaced someone. And we will see you in the next episode. Give us a raving review here and give some love to Ula and Pavel. We see you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.